Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We will be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. Well, welcome everyone. Good day. Welcome back. Today with us, you know, I'm super excited, fellow Canadian. You got to have as many Canadians on as possible. Krista Clive Smith. Krista's got an amazing story to share with us. Author, entrepreneur, speaker, mom, world traveler right now. I love it all. So welcome, Krista. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. The privilege and the honor is truly all mine.
Love it. And you know, one thing I didn't say is fellow skier.
Right? Yes.
Fellow skier, right? You got to get your winters in and get your time out there in the fresh air and in great snow. So give us a little, you know, give us a little color of sort of what you're doing right now. But I also want to hear about how did that happen, right? How did it, you know, what was the journey to get to where you are today?
Yeah, well, the super high level highlight reel is I started my first company in 2001. I was a solopreneur, professional organizer. This is up in Canada. Wow. Started an organizing company that then I franchised, and we had locations in Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto. 36 employees, and brick by brick with my own two hands, I built a prison that I was living in. And oh my word. I mean, I was like a professional mistake maker, which I think is what makes me an interesting person to converse with, because I know a lot of landmines and potholes, and I'm very excited to always share them so that other people don't have to fall into them. And in that moment, when I was sitting at the investor table with the term sheet in front of me to handle our North American expansion, I had my Jerry Maguire moments. And I thought, if I sign this piece of paper, I am selling my soul and it's game over. So I promptly put the pen down, slid the unsigned sheet to the center of the table, stood up, and I said, I'm out. And I had no idea what I was going to do. And so I called two of my closest team members who are still to this minute a part of my, like, Ash has been with me since 2005.
Wow.
And then Catherine on our team has been with us on and off since 2007.
Yeah.
And so I called those guys and I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do next. And they both said, doesn't matter, we're in. So we spent the next 6 months closing the locations and doing all the things. And then I decided to go to San Diego. I didn't know. I knew I wanted to spend half my year somewhere warm.
Yes.
But I didn't want to wait till I retired to do it. And in 2008, that's when all of this happened. I made a commitment that I would never again run a business that I couldn't scale from anywhere on the planet.
Right.
So I was like a really like early virtual nomad person. Yeah. And then in this new sort of newest iteration of my companies, I've got team members all over the world. We sold off our lives in 2019 in San Diego and moved to Africa for a year. And then we've been on the go ever since. So.
Wow. And explain sort of what your plan is right now. Like we were talking about where you are right now and where you're going for a period of time, which, you know, is always near and dear to my heart. And, you know, explain a little bit about that, because that's what a lot of people are looking for, trying to figure out how to do this.
Yes. So I would say the number one thing to determine is your values as a human being.
Yes.
So because family, so mine, and these are the company values for the family of companies, is family, freedom, philanthropy, we call it go-giver spirit after the book, The Go-Giver, always learning, and no bitches. And so when you think about family and freedom, if those are my top two values, then we have family in Canada, South Africa, and San Diego. So those are our three primary bases through the year. So we spend May through August in South Africa each year. Right now I'm in San Diego today. We're spending our winter in Canada so we can ski and be with family. Yep. And then we throw in a few adventures that are outside of those. Like this year, we're going skiing in France for New Year's. Because skiing is our 2022-23 winter theme. We kind of we plan a year in advance as a family where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And I think that by having a life and a business that is led by your values, it becomes a compass that allows you to never deviate. So I would say for business owners and people trying to scale their life and up-level and really get to that next place, there are three critical questions I always ask you to think about. Number one, what business do you want to be in? And when I'm asking that question, I'm asking that very intentionally. I don't mean like, do you want to be an entrepreneur? That's not what I'm asking. Like, for example, with my organizing company, before I franchised, I interviewed 23 different franchisors.
Yeah.
Never once did anyone ever say to me, what business do you want to be in? Nor did they say, should you franchise?
Right.
And so what I didn't realize, and this is like ridiculous that I didn't realize this because it's captain obvious when you hear it in retrospect.
Yes.
But I spent $75,000 on this inch and a half thick legal agreement that was my franchise agreement.
Yes.
And I woke up, no kidding, within days after the receipt of that thing, in absolute horror with the realization that I was no longer, the business I wanted to be in was building and growing the best organizing company on the planet.
Right.
But because of the growth model I chose, asleep at the wheel and unintentional, even though I just didn't know enough about replication models.
Right.
I was now in the business of selling franchises. That was not the business I wanted to be in.
Very different business.
Very different business. But you don't think of that when you make a chess move from a how to grow your business. So what business do you want to be in is question number one. What life do you want to lead? And I mean that as a human. I don't mean that as like what general life. I'm talking specifically what is in your heart. Being the digital nomad that I am today has been in my fabric of my being since I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of think of questions number one and two like an infinity loop.
Yes.
Because every decision you make in the business you want to be in has a lifestyle implication. Every lifestyle decision you make, if you're going to sell off your life and move to Africa, there's a business implication.
Yes.
And the third question is, who do you want to serve? And I really believe that who we can serve best in our businesses is a prior version of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we think back to who we once were and can help and support someone like that, we are so well positioned to do that. And it's in our unique genius to be able to, which is why I'm so grateful to be here talking to a community of business owners and people who, you know, I've made all these mistakes. What a cool thing to get to share them so you don't have to make the same ones I've made. Because heck knows you're going to make your own.
We all are making mistakes, you know, every day. And we try to not make the same ones, right? Learn from them and move on. And
exactly.
And I love what you said about, you know, thinking about that infinity, right? You know, we make decisions here, they come back, they affect, you know, who we are. And there's so many of our listeners out there are just, we got to take a step back. And I love doing this. I think a lot of people know that I do this. Every 90 days, I have this one-page plan, and it's a personal plan. Like what I do every day with teams I coach and the coaches I work with, we have one-page plans for that too. But the personal one-page plan is always the foundation. And I, you know, we look at it every 90 days. Like I look at it every 90 days, 10 years, 3 years, 1 year, what do I got to do in the next 90 days to actually ensure that, you know, I'm staying balanced. And that draws right into what I'm doing in my retirement. This is my retirement. This is my second mountain. This is like fun, you know, and it's got to align. And so, but why can't we have, not that my first two companies weren't fun. They were really fun too. Yeah. Right. You know, and the decision I love that you made for yourself and your family is around, you know, where you want to be, how you want to do it, all those things. And, you know, we were joking at the beginning of this when we got on the call around fellow Canadians. I'm a ski bum, right?
Totally.
32 years in Whistler. I had to figure out how to do that. So a lot of people are probably listening in and going, that's a big deal. Like saying it out loud is one thing and then doing it the next thing. And then, you know, what were some of those things you went through thinking about that? Like one, when you told, you know, at the very beginning, you said, look, I didn't sign that deal. Lots of people sign the deal and then they're in, and then they have to do something even more drastic than that, right? And you went and found the team members you do well with. Like that's one thing, you know, that's a big deal. And just getting a hold of that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there are so many times we work, put so much effort into something we think we wanted. It's all the way to the point where we need to sign now. And we sign because of the effort we put into it, not because it's what we wanted.
Yes. And I think that that is a mindset shift that I would invite every listener to consider is, and this is a lifelong decision. Like it's a choice that you make once to make that choice to be part of your living framework for life, which is to have the courage to realign your life as the seasons of your life change.
Right.
Because, you know, even when we had the life that we had in San Diego, you know, we had a big life there. We had a ski condo, but I started to notice that as the kids got older, we were, you know, when they were younger, we spent every weekend at the ski hill in California. Very different skiing in your t-shirt than it is skiing in Canada for sure. But we spent every single weekend there. But I started to notice as the girls got older that now, all of a sudden, with sports and school and all the things, we weren't spending. And so as the seasons went on, like my husband, it took a lot for him to make that mental shift of the alignment and to just be able to go like this and throw it and say, we're going to start again and do some and choose something different. But once you kind of build that muscle,
right,
it's so liberating and it's so freeing, but being able to get comfortable with fear and failure is like a really important muscle to build. You know, I do a birthday challenge every year and I've done it since I was 30, and it's my gift to myself so that every year I do something that gives me the sweatiest palms ever, so that as I get older, I've built this intimate, deep friendship with fear.
Yeah.
Because I practice it. And you've got to practice it, you know? And so having that mindset shift, and there's a great tool, because I'm all about practical tools and frameworks. And so I know you are too with Metronautics.
yes.
So Dan Sullivan, the founder of Strategic Coach, also fellow Canuck, he has a formula called the 4 C's formula.
Yes.
Which essentially says that whenever you have hit like a plateau or you're at this crossroads point, like I was at the table, then the first C is to make a big, hairy, audacious commitment. And so when you feel kind of stagnant, that should be your cue to make a new commitment, one that is scary.
Yes.
But then the second C is courage. And it means waking up every day and having the courage to just keep taking tiny steps toward that commitment.
Yeah.
And just the season of courage you're going to need is probably in relationship to the size of the commitment you just made, right?
Yes.
And then the third C, so that as you make the commitment, you show up every day with courage, then that starts to build capability.
Yeah.
And that capability builds the fourth C, which is confidence. So people who are listening saying, well, how can I develop the confidence to do it? Well, that's how you do it. You make a commitment, you follow it with courage, which builds on, you get momentum and you start to see progress, which creates capability, and that creates confidence. And he's got a book called The 4 C's Formula, a tiny little one available online, where then you can go back to what's a big decision you've done in your past.
Yes.
And pass it through the 4 C's and arc it, reverse engineer and see how you architected it. Because once you've got that blueprint in your body of the confidence from a prior one, you just start to apply it to your next one.
Right. And it builds. And one of the things that you said, maybe lightly, but I heard it loudly, and it's part of, like, you know, I put it part of any one page personal plan, is understanding your core purpose and understanding your core values, right? Like, we can't, and a lot of people go, they talk, yes, I have values, I have my personal core values, but to be explicit and to write them down and to know them, and knowing that, you know, we're always going back, because then it goes in with the four C's, right? I love Dan Sullivan. He has so many great things like that to, you know, ensure that we as people, you know, if we're entrepreneurs, leaders, have the tools to actually step through the things we need. And that's a simple framework that we can think of. The commitment piece. So you, like, stand up, you push away from the table, right? I'm out, you know, walk out. Was there any time there where you went like, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
Yeah. Every day. But that's why the second C is courage.
Yes.
Because you're out on the skinny branches is where all the fruit is. But when you're out there, it's terrifying. You're one branch snap away from disaster.
Yes.
And so that's why getting comfortable with that fear and just letting that become your comfort zone. Like, comfort zone is such a funny term to me, right?
Yes.
Because what people fail to realize is it doesn't mean that your comfort zone has to be comfortable. Because my comfort zone, and many, many entrepreneurs, which is why when you look at how people handled the pandemic, entrepreneurs very statistically handled it exponentially better than most traditional people who are not business owners.
Absolutely.
And part of that is because we live in uncertainty all the time as entrepreneurs. That is, there are no givens. We are in charge of our fate. We're the captains of our ships. And living in the vibration of that uncertainty is our comfort zone. That's what makes us tick as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. It's why we get up every day. It's why we are there rather than in another place.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, you and I both are very strategic in our planning. I also sit down every 90 days and I do, at the end of each year, I do like that big year plan where we're mapping out the whole thing. And when I'm doing that, that's where I'm looking at the seasons changing, right? And I'm able to say, like, when our daughter Kennedy was, that's when we made the decision to sell off our life and move to Africa, because we knew we had this window from when she was 7 when we did that.
Yes.
Through until when it's time for high school. And so knowing that, I just knew, hey, there. And sometimes you got to freak yourself out. Like, when we made the decision, my husband has a sales cycle of about three and a half months for big things. 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks for little things.
Yes.
So if I want some, I've got to plant seeds and I just have to be patient, because he is, if you've ever done your Colby before, I'm a 9 quick start. I am like flying into action. So I remember so clearly being in the ensuite, brushing my teeth on a Saturday morning, and he walks in and he says, I think we should do it. This is moving to Africa.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, like, please just breathe for a second. Please don't say that unless you're for sure.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I think I'm sure. And I said, because here's what I'm going to do as I'm brushing my teeth. if this is for real, I'm going to make a real big commitment today. I'm going to sell my car today. Because I believe that if you can take one big, bold action in the step of what you're trying to do, all the universal forces of energy rise up to meet that commitment and things happen and it sets a plan in motion. So that's that, like, it takes. And so he's like, oh, you are? And I said, yeah, I am. So are you sure? He's like, I think I am. So literally I got ready, took my car to the detailer, took it to CarMax and sat there. We went to lunch while they reviewed it, came back. They cut me a check same day. And 3 months later, we were on a plane.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you know, a lot of people are listening going, oh, you know, it's turning stomachs, but you're not doing this, on a whim. You're planning it. You're thinking about it. You're thinking ahead, right?
Totally.
Not only for, you know, like we need to do that in business. People do that every day in business. But for our lives, my experience has been most people don't do that.
Well, and again, like there's ways to live out your values that aren't as extreme as the season I'm in. So for example, I always wanted our kids to be global citizens and global thinkers.
Yeah.
So from the time they were teeny tiny eating solid food, every Thursday, we used to have Around the World Thursday.
Yes.
And we'd have a foreign cuisine so that they were building their palate. We had this little globe where we would pick which cuisine the week before.
Yes.
We find it on the map. We had this little set of a deck of cards of flags of the world from Target for $1. We'd find the flag. We'd get a YouTube clip of something culturally appropriate from, and we'd eat the cuisine.
Yeah.
And because at that stage of our lives, it wasn't the right season. I wanted the kids to have a very solid foundation of their lives before we took them and threw them in the deep end. Because when we sold off our lives and moved to Africa, and she showed up at school one day, because I am not a homeschooler. Oh my gosh.
Yes, yes.
So she goes to in-person schools, the same three schools. But the first time she went, she was the only white kid in her grade.
Yes.
And so I can, as a parent, teach all day long about Black Lives Matter and all the thing, or I can throw her in the deep end of the pool. But all the years of Around the World Thursdays and the exposure warmed her up to the readiness for that moment. So it isn't happenstance and it's not haphazard. It is very strategic. It's slow, but there is an element that you just are never going to have. You're just going to have the courage. And people will say, but there's never a good time. Well, there's never a good time.
Yeah, always. We hear that.
We're always going to miss out on something.
Yes.
So it's just the risk reward that we all face every day of our lives, right?
Yeah. And I really think, you know, I couldn't agree with you more, is that grounding of knowing, you know, the purpose, your purpose, right? The values and where you want to go without thinking about everything else around. And then it's figuring out the how.
Well, and the how is not, I mean, this is where, depending on where people sit spiritually, I really surrender deeply to the how showing itself to me.
Yes,
I take bold action in the direction of where I want, but I am really,
and good things happen.
I'm really released in when it shows up. Like there are a lot of infinite ways it can show up. My job is just to have courage and take action and to just keep saying yes, you know?
Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit. I could talk about that all day because I know it, you know, in the world we live in now, there's so many flexible opportunities that people don't necessarily have planned or have the courage or think that way. And I couldn't agree with more about sort of setting it up so that you go in that direction. But if I switch gears, you have a book, Get Noticed, Be Remembered, right? It was published, I think, if I have it right, do I have it right, 2019? How long ago?
No, it's so funny. The original publishing was in 2003.
Okay.
Which was before, I mean, it's a book on personal branding, but social media hadn't been invented yet back
then.
Yeah,
so I wasn't sure because I went and did my homework on that. I was like, you know, but can you talk about that a little bit and talk about a little bit about at that time why you did that and what do you do now with it?
Yeah. So personal branding really came to light for me when we would send our teams of organizers into people's homes and offices. We were like detectives because they weren't ever in the space when we were working in it.
Yeah.
So we didn't know the backstory.
Right.
And so we could unearth these patterns and be able to, there was this one woman who was a single mom, only adult in the house. And we kept unearthing these antique cameras, for example. And we put together this vignette on a wall. She walked in, she saw it, she burst into tears and said, "Where did you get this stuff?" We're like, no, it's yours. Well, it was so profoundly impactful that she quit her job and became a photographer. And in that moment, something changed for me. And I realized that authentically who we are in our essence and our core, we are designed to be just like the acorn You know, the oak tree sleeps within the acorn. The DNA of the patterning of its greatness as an oak tree is already there.
Right.
And as humans, we go on this search to find ourselves. But really, it's actually all already there. If we have the courage to peel back the layers and really get to know ourselves. And when the DNA is there already and the patterning, the mechanics for its fulfillment are there too.
Right.
So the key when we're looking at personal branding, that's why, you know, I sold the first 2,000 copies that were in my garage back in those days, and I put it away because it was too soon. Nobody understood what the heck I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because now people understand.
It's so relevant.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. So I waited until 2018 and I dusted it off. I just thought, you know, if I got hit by a bus, like the girls wouldn't even know that I'd ever written a book. So I just almost as a lark dusted this thing off, put it up on Amazon. The art files were so old, I could only make enough changes that the first and last word on each page didn't change. And then that year, with doing nothing toward it, it won a national book award.
Yeah, I saw that. Book
award. And then Purdue University in the States called and said, we're creating a course on personal branding. We've chosen your old janky book to be the textbook.
you're not doing yourself any service.
No. Well, here's the thing. We're doing a new edition now, which also includes things like a values card deck, for example.
Yeah.
The values exercise has been in the book since day one.
Yeah.
But so how it applies today is now one of my companies, we help people determine who they are, what that patterning is, the DNA, and how they can bring it to the world authentically so that they can align every touch point to who they really are.
Yeah. Love that. You know, looking back at your journey and sort of researching it, I sort of looked at it and then I said, but like it just won an award, right? And even when we talked about Women of Whistler, think about when we start like that's all playing through, but you have a few businesses today, correct?
Yeah.
Talk about your businesses today.
Well, and again, I didn't know what they were going to turn into. Only now I got the download in a meditation for what it actually is, because I was building this jigsaw puzzle, but I never saw the picture on the box.
Yeah.
So if you've ever been to Disneyland before, when you walk in the gates, there's different lands within the park.
Right.
So you can think of my family of companies as a virtual theme park for people who know a lot about a nonfiction topic. So if it's someone who's a CEO who knows a lot about business or about people and culture or a finance person, as long as it has a nonfiction expertise, we are a theme park for those people. So when they walk into our park, there's different lands within the park. So instead of Neverland, Tomorrowland, Toontown for the kids, we have writing land where we ghostwrite nonfiction business finance books.
Awesome.
Publishing land where we publish them. Personal branding land where we help build personal brands. Speaker land is coming in 2023. And our Toontown for the kids is Little Authors Academy, which helps little kids become published authors when they're young.
Love it. Love it. So, so good. And you're doing that from wherever you want to be. What's the size of your team?
So our family tree, as we call it, because we're a family of companies, we needed the word family in there because of our number one value, is a bullseye dartboard. And so the visionary integrator team in the center, then we have our core senior leadership team who are all the heads of the lands, the queens of the lands.
Yes, yes.
We're like 98% female.
Yes.
Like the 90s movie, A Few Good Men. And then the next ring out from there is our tactical team. Those are people like our book cover designers or our ebook conversion specialists. Each one of them, I believe really deeply in unique genius and helping people get to that really core essence of what they love to do. And they are so great at it. And then we remove off every obstacle around it so they can just spend their days in total bliss living out that genius. And we pair those unique geniuses together to make unique ability teams. Again, that's a concept from Dan Sullivan. And then the outer ring is our platform team. So we do find new people where, you know, sometimes we have a requirement for something we've never done before. So we will interview people and find them from like Upwork or somewhere. And then we just work with them enough that we start to bring them into more inner circle people. So system wide, if we exclude platform, we're probably 35 to 50 at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then our core senior leadership team and the people who really form the basis of our everyday team, there's 10 of us.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And they're wherever they want to be.
They are. And I'm so committed to business ownership and the power of that from a tax perspective. And so that when someone comes to work with us, it doesn't matter who they are. If they don't already have a business, we help them get set up with their own micro business.
Right.
But then we take all the sales and administrative part of it off the table for them.
Yeah.
So that they can be in control of their future, but inside an organization with a strong culture, and they don't have to hunt for business.
Right. Right. Amazing. So I have a bit of a speed round on a few questions.
Yeah. Give it to me, girl.
All right.
Absolutely.
So the first one's easy. What book are you reading right now?
Oh my gosh. One that's totally rocked my life because I know what I'm doing in my next chapter. It's called Buy Then Build, Acquisition Entrepreneurship, and like Serial. That's my investment strategy for probably the next 30 years.
Love it. What's the book you recommend the most for people to read?
Ooh, I'm a person of faith, but it's not about that. Conversations with God, book one.
Yes.
Did more for me to understand the mechanics of the world than I can even begin to imagine. And on the business side, Built to Sell by John Warlow.
Yeah, good. Another Canadian. You got all the Canadians.
I didn't even know he was Canadian.
Yeah, he's out of Toronto. He might be originally something else, but he's living in Toronto. And I originally met John. And love that book. Great book.
I reread it every August.
Great book. What's your favorite productivity hack?
You know what it is these days? It's sleep. I was such a workaholic. And I finally have come around to the realization of how magnificent and important sleep is. So I've got an Aura ring now, and it's changed my life.
Me too. I've had it for years. I got it through when I was part of Abundance 360.
Yeah.
Peter Diamandis. Yes, you know, we got the early release.
Oh,
I'm
so
like,
good.
I think we're at this third generation, but yeah.
So good.
Sleep's a great productivity hack. No one said that one. At what time of day do you get your best work done?
Oh, as much as I dread, I'm not like a natural morning person, but man, I am alive like nobody else. Actually, can I add a second productivity hack?
Yes.
Is B12, the liquid spray.
Yes.
Best thing I ever did.
Yeah,
it like the 3 p.m. slump is never, no more. It's,
B12. Amazing. Amazing. What's your favorite sort of underrated tech tool? What's the tech tool that you love that just changes things in your world?
Yeah, it's the anti-tech tool. I think sometimes we always look for a tech solution. And sometimes the very best thing, I buy these when I get to a new country, I buy these sketch pads, and I travel with Sharpies because you can't get Sharpies everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And I map things out visually, and then I take pictures like of flow charts and processes. And I take pictures, I send them to my team, and they build them all out for me into our tech.
I'm just laughing so hard because that I only carry a paper book to draw pictures. So I can take a picture of them and send them so like we can talk and things.
Exactly. So sometimes the best tech is not tech.
Yeah. And my team was laughing at me last week because I literally did that. And I took the pictures and put them on a mural, right? The mural.co online. And I was like, let's talk through these. They're pretty ugly. They're scribbled, but
But your readers, your listeners may want a real tech tool, which I think would be like Dext, D-E-X-T.
Yeah.
And that is like snap a picture of a receipt while I'm at the restaurant, code it, done. And I am like borderline paperless. So
okay, it's scary how aligned we are because that's what we use. Dext.
Amazing.
Love it. Love it. So okay. Good. Best piece of advice you would give your young entrepreneur self. What's one piece of advice that you wish you had got many years ago when you started out on the journey?
Yeah, be yourself. It's a very tough act to follow. It's no joke. There's no two snowflakes the same. There is no other you. That is your competitive advantage.
Love it.
Do what you say you're going to do is the only other one. be yourself and do what you say you're going to do. Those will be the two greatest strategic advantages of your whole life.
So kindred spirits, being Canadian, of course, skiers, yes, entrepreneurs, authors, all those good things. I really can't thank you enough for so many good, like, I you know, I've got things I've got to follow up on after this discussion. And I know we could talk probably for hours, but thank you for being here with us today. And I look forward to meeting you in person in Whistler soon.
I can't wait. We'll be there. Well, I'll be up there in Canada on Saturday. So I'll be flying through to at least say hello as I'm crossing into BC. But yes, no. And as I said at the beginning, I wasn't just saying that to say that. The privilege and the honor really is all mine, because when you go through the things of life that we as entrepreneurs and, you know, we're all just bumbling around, making mistakes every day and doing our best. And what a cool thing to be able to share the journey and support that there would be one tiny little thing that would help somebody else. So it really, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. And thank you so much for picking me to invest some time.
No, you're very welcome. I love your energy and your conviction on it, because it's exactly what we need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus-year-old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.